Good morning. Happy spring. We have arrived with winter in the past, spring in the future. No more snow. All right, this is Alaska. So we got three more snowstorms coming, but probably more snow in the spring than when we had all winter long, knowing the way things work around here. But it's sunny, and it's been warm this week, and we are blessed. Amen? We are blessed. We are powerfully blessed. What a God we have. And you know, the sooner and the clearer we have a vision of who we are and who God is, the clearer that is, the more joy and the better our walk is in this life. I've been trying to do a series of lessons with you on what it means to be broken before God. And I use that term as a strong description of humility. Deep, sound, solid humility before God. It's not about me. We said that together in the first lesson I did on this. It's not about me. It is not about me. It's about God and His glory. My life is not for me. Not correctly, it's not. My life lived for me will be a very sad event. My life lived for others is something better. But your life lived in glory to God is something magnificent, eternal, bringing His love and glory to others. We started by looking at the story of Jacob and centered in Genesis chapter 32, if you remember, of Jacob being terrified of running into his own brother Esau because he had wronged him so horribly. And before he meets Esau, he wrestles with the angel, right? He wrestles all night long, and the angel says, "Who are you? What is your name?" That's the other lesson. When Jacob admits who he is, when Jacob sees who he is and stops this lying and pretending that he's someone else, that's all in the length of the story, through God, or from God, he is told, well, now you have a new name. Now your name is Israel. Wrestles with God. And that broken with and broken before God, we become someone he can use. The next lesson, we looked at Peter running into Christ and Christ's miracle of the catch of fish, and as soon as Peter realized what was going on, he fell on his face before Jesus saying, "Get away from me, for I am a sinful man." Broken before God, he can use us, and broken before God, he can change us. And that was the beginning of Peter being changed. We read the verse out of John 12. Unless a grain of wheat dies, unless a seed dies, that we all, like that seed, like that grain of wheat, die and become a full-grown plant. The potential is in there. The potential is in every human to be what God wants them to be. But it's not going to happen if you demand and insist on living your own way. Unless you die. We ended that lesson looking at Colossians chapter 3. And out of Colossians 3, the beginning, go ahead and turn there. Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. You died. The symbol and the connection and the action that brought us together with that death was the action and the symbol of our baptism. That we died to ourselves and now live only in and because of Christ. We are hidden in Christ. Your life is now covered over, hidden in Christ. And we looked at the rest of this part of Colossians 3 and found out that it was talking about this renewal that happens to us. You die, you become useful to God. You die, and he can now change you. Humble before him, he can change you and use you. And we find renewal in Colossians chapter 3. We found a renewed life. We found renewed thoughts. We found renewed knowledge. We found renewed love. We found renewed relationships. And we found renewed peace because of dying in Christ. The renewed life is that regenerated life, that dying to self and living to Christ that we covered in the last lesson. Today, I'd like to talk about the renewal of our thoughts, the renewal of our perspective, the renewal of our awareness and our knowledge and our walk, knowing who we are and knowing who God is. We just looked at Matthew 17. It's really an interesting story in a lot of ways. Jesus apparently needed the transfiguration. And the three he brought with them, the three apostles, definitely needed to see this transfiguration. They reflected back on it in their writings decades later, remembering what happened on that mountain as they wrote about it. Moses showed up there. Elijah showed up there. Peter, James, and John are astonished. Peter starts rambling about accomplishing something while they're up there. God interrupts him. You know, you really know you're rambling if God interrupts you. I get rambling. I need to be interrupted. So if you were in God's position and you're about to transform his entire relationship with everybody on earth, he's about to bring his Holy Spirit onto this earth and make it available to all people. He's going to have his son crucified on the cross and begin this intimate connection with the people he loves so much to be found in him. This is about to happen. And God has, by his own voice. Now, we know God is spirit, not physical, and sound waves are physical. So God had to imagine some interaction with the physical world. I'm not going to go there. It's just you have to think a little bit that way, that the voice of God is more than the voice of God, more than the sound waves that were coming. But they got sound waves. They heard his voice speaking. What would you say? You're about to transform everything. You're about to start the church. You're about to make salvation available to all people. Got something to explain, don't you? And oh, by the way, you know they're going to mess it up. You know the humans receiving this word are going to get so much of it wrong. He says, you can quote it, right? "This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." That's it. That's not a bad message. In fact, because it's God, it's an awesome message. The identity of who Christ is. Now, it's no accident, obviously. It's absolutely connected, although Chuck and I didn't have this coordinated for him to read Matthew 16 during the Lord's Supper and us to be looking at Matthew 17 for a lesson. But it's no accident that Peter had just identified Jesus as the Son of the living God, right? Now, God says, "This is my beloved Son." Identity for Christ. Identity is important. Knowing who you are and who Jesus is and who God is central to everything else. The second thing God says is, "What my Son is doing pleases me." Oh, wouldn't that be awesome to know that our lives please God? This life pleased God, and he wants us to know that. And now the rubber and the hits the road. Now the action verb. Now the response. Listen to him. We can't do any better than to get that right. We can't do any better with our lives than to get that accurate and right with who we are. That level of broken before God, that level of humility, that level of relationship and loyalty to God is so critical to who we are and what we do and how we live and love and serve one another and our families. Men, I think particularly of you. Fathers, husbands, brothers of mine, who can be men because they can stand in the truth of who God is. You know you can stand when you're humble, right? Because God lifts you up. When you stand in your own pride and you stand in your own arrogance, the Bible says, watch out, because you're going to fall. When you say, "I know who I am, and I know what I think, and I know what I want, and I know what I can accomplish, and I'm going to do it." Do you understand me? You're not going to do very well. You might even make a lot of noise on this planet, but you're not going to do very well. You're going to fall hard, usually before you get off the planet. But somewhere you're going to fall real hard. But when you know who God is, and you know who his son is, and you know who you are, like Peter, like Jacob, like these men, what did they do when they heard the voice? They're on their face. They're on the ground. When you realize what's going on, they didn't realize what's going on, but they had a lot more information than we have. They were on the ground. When you have any contact with the God, with God or the messengers of God, you're on the ground. That's not weakness. That's reality. Humble yourselves in the mighty hand of God, and at the proper time, he will lift you up. When God lifts you up from the ground and says, "I got something for you to do," you stand. And of course, that's the message from Ephesians 6. You stand, because I've got things for you to stand for. I've got faith for you to stand in. I got love for you to use in this life. I've got a family for you to love. Whether it's your own individual family or if you're a single man, it's this family. Then you can stand in strength. Then you can really stand. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 9, please. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. One of our favorites around here. Jeremiah 9, 23. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will punish all those who are circumcised and yet uncircumcised. Egypt and Judah, Edom and the sons of Ammon, Moab and all those inhabiting the desert who clip the hair in their temples. For all the nations are uncircumcised and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised of heart. You know, those who go through the motions, they're physically baptized, they get wet in the water and come up and sing praises to Christ, but their heart remains loyal to themselves. I'm not talking about the Christian who struggles and stumbles and who has this selfish streak and has this arrogance to them that they hate. I'm talking about the person, and God is warning us about the person who is going through the motions, who intends to do this for show and not be serious about obeying Christ and obeying His word. God had them under the old covenant, and He has them in the new covenant. They were physically circumcised, but not in their heart. It wasn't their life mission. It wasn't their purpose. Chapter 10 of Jeremiah, the beginning of the chapter is a ridiculing description of idols, saying to the people around Israel, really? And to the Israelites who get fooled by it, really? You're going to pay attention to a hunk of wood? You're going to get excited about an idol? And it's a criticism. But I want to go down and look at verse 23. We just looked at Jeremiah 9:23. Now I want to look at Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself. It is not, nor is it in man who walks to direct his steps. Correct me, O Lord, with justice, but not with your anger, or you will bring me to nothing. Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, and on families who do not call your name, for they have devoured Jacob. They have devoured him and consumed him, and have laid waste his habitation. The word came, chapter 11, verse 1. The word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, hear the words of this covenant, and speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and say to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, cursed is the man who does not heed the words of this covenant, which I commanded your forefathers on the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, listen to my voice, do all according to all of which I commanded you. You shall be my people, and I will be your God, in order to confirm the oath which I swore to your forefathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey, as it is this day, I say it. And then I said, Amen, O Lord. And the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words to the cities of Judah in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this covenant and do them. For I solemnly warned your fathers in the day that I brought them from the land of Egypt, even to this day, warning persistently, saying, listen to my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked each one in the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore, I brought on them all the words of this covenant, which I commanded them to do, but they did not. The same message, God says it. Any parents in here repeated themselves to their children? You ever give your children the same message? You ever had to, the coat got picked up in the living room the first time you said it, right? And the dishes always got washed thoroughly. You just had to say it halfway. Honey, don't forget to wash. You got it. Right? No. Not often. If it happened, you began to worry, what do they want? What else is going on? Okay, they're cooperative. Something's happening. We have a selfish streak, a lazy streak, a me-first streak that runs through us. It's going to kill us. God has been trying to get us to get past that and to listen to Him and His Word since the garden, right? I don't need to listen to God. I have my own ideas on this subject, they said in the garden. And they found out that was a big mistake. And ever since then, men have been finding out what a huge mistake it is to listen to yourself and ignore the message from God. I know, verse 23, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself. It is not in a man who walks to direct his own steps. It is not in you to direct your own life. But only I know what I want. That's not true. It's not in you to direct the steps of your own life. I haven't even got to my list of New Testament scriptures. We need to wrap this up. It's not in you to direct your own life. The way of man is not in himself. Brothers, as God's, in God's position in your family, you show your wife, your children, what it means to care about the Word of God. Read it and read it to your family. Follow it. Show the joy and enthusiasm that God has for you in Christ. What does God want to do with these people? He wants to bless them. I want to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. I want to bless you. He says before, he exercises loving kindness, justice, righteousness. I want good things for you guys. These rules aren't for your pain. God's word is not for your burdens. Jesus said, I take your burdens off. Show your children. Teach your children obedience, because it's their obedience to you that they will first learn how to obey God. It's the one thing you need to teach your children. If you don't teach them anything else, teach them how to obey you. Sweetly, lovingly, positively. You don't need to create a dictatorship to do that. Sweetly and with close relationship, teach your children how to obey you. Start real early and be consistent. Teach your children. We'll jump over a couple of passages, and let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll wrap it up here. You see, listening to his word, obeying God in his word, it's what he's been calling us to. It's what he specifically called the apostles to in Christ. Listen to him. Obey my commands. I have blessings for you that I want to give you, but I need you to listen to me. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 22. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Did you see where salvation came from in the beginning of that? Did you see where the purification of our souls came at the beginning of what we just read? Since you have, in obedience to the truth, God is looking for a people who will listen to his word, listen to his will, and will obey it. Not lip service, not outward show where the heart is not engaged. He wants us with our hearts engaged, reading and listening to his word and obeying him. Then we're born again. Then we have the imperishable seed. The word of the Lord endures forever. All this stuff, all your jobs, all your money, all your things, it's all going away. Our relationship with God and the word of God endures forever. It's all possible in Christ. This obedience to the truth can start right now with you. If you're ready to be baptized into Christ, If your repentance is prepared, if your faith is sure, if you're ready to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, you can be baptized this morning to the purification of your soul and start that walk or that relationship. If you have that need or any need that we can help you with, please come forward while we stand and sing the song that was been selected.